eventing, and barrel racing, all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
At the races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Minutes with Hammer, and let me reach out to Sid and get going on Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And it's just funny because Sid is also on top of this situation from last night in Philly with Mac. It's very funny. Listen, everybody has their breaking point, right? You gotta have a thick skin when it comes to dealing with Philadelphia fans and with with the way they approach their sports. Sid Fernando, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Yeah, that was a funny Mattress Mac moment there, huh? But he just tweeted about 3 minutes ago a scripture about, I think I sent it to you, but do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. That he might have felt bad about what he did.
I imagine, but there's plenty. Let me tell you, I don't think this comes as a complete surprise to any number of horsemen who have worked with Mac over the years. He's been known to be a little volatile as an owner. So, and he's pulled some triggers with trainers over the years.
No doubt.
Sid, this is always one of my favorite visits because you have, you know, the slightly different approach when it comes to Breeders' Cup, when it comes to handicapping in general, because there's pedigree opportunities, there's plenty of horses that are stretching out, that are you know, doing different kinds of things, and you know, I guess the overview we should start with in terms of, you know, the importance of these 2 days in the breeding game, what victories in these races and board hits in, you know, they're almost all grade ones except for the juvenile turf sprint, you know, what it means, and give us a kind of the evolutionary view of the Breeders' Cup for those that, you know, professionally breed horses, whether to race or sell.
Well, you know, obviously it's huge in so many different ways, huge for individual breeders. You know, it's named the Breeders' Cup. You know, you get small breeders, large guys, everybody, they're all here, and it's, you know, it's such a win is such a major life-changing experience for, you know, any of these breeders, whether it's a small guy in Iowa who bred Tyler's Tribe, or, you know, Godolphin coming over here every year, Coolmore. So it's, you know, it's huge. It adds so much financial value to horses as well. Huge for, you know, these, take this year's freshman sires. There's a big race going on right now with, you know, 6-7 of them all in the top 10 2-year-old sires list, and a win by any of them could, you know, make them the leading freshman sire this year. Same thing with your established sires. You know, the money in these races can move your position up. All of that, you know, will have an effect on the breeding season in 2023. And of course, it's just great championship racing. Everybody really wants to be here and try to win one of these. It's been built since 84 into really the championship, year-end championships of racing. You know, it was once, prior to the Breeders' Cup, it was the championships were, you know, a series of races in at Belmont Park in the fall. That's given way to this huge series that moves around from track to track. And excuse me. And so, yeah, you know, it's what it is right now. It's just the biggest event, and it's longer than it's bigger with more races, obviously, than the Triple Crown, which is probably the Derby. You know, is probably the most well known race, but the Breeders' Cup races, even casual fans are aware of it. You know, I told my mom I was going to the Breeders' Cup, and she, you know, for years now, she understands what it is, and she's not a race goer, she's not a racing fan, but she'll put the TV on for those races. So, you know, it's a big deal.
There you go. In terms of the freshman sire races, let's start on Friday and alternately talk the dirt races. I love the juvenile turf events, but let's actually focus on the boys and the girls first, and then we can come back to some turf.
Yeah, I mean, the with a focus on juvenile sires, the big horse that could really seal the deal for any of them is that juvenile turf on for Colts, because you've got Hillendale's Good Magic in that race with Blazing Sevens, who's, you know, coming into this race off a grade one win.
And Curly Jack.
Exactly, who won the grade three Iroquois. So, you know, Justify, of course, is verifying in that race as well, who ran second to Blazing Sevens. But, yeah, either, you know, this race could, right there, you know, any of those three win it. And I wrote my column last week before the actual entries came up in TDN, but I mentioned a lot of these horses. The one I missed was the Gervin that got entered too, and he's a freshman sire as well in the top 10 of 2-year-old sires. So Blazing Sevens is actually one of the horses I like in this race. You might take it with a bit of salt because we were involved in assisting Tracy Palmer in the mating.
That's right.
But he is a horse I like. He's improving. He was bred to, you know, when we did the mating, it was a potential classic horse, and we like the horse. And we think, he's got a good shot to upset Cave Rock in this race.
Blazing Sevens, and it's funny that you mentioned verifying, because we talked about him just a little bit earlier, and the Justify colt. There's also on the first crop scene, you know, Mendelssohn has got Wound Up for Michael McCarthy involved here. How about also in the girls' race? You mentioned Gervin. Gervin's also got Atomically is the one I think you were hinting at in the juvenile fillies. Right. Chop Chop for City of Light. in the Philly race as well. Who else? Sharp Azteca has got Almarosa. And Vegas Magic on the rails for Doug O'Neill.
Vegas Magic. And all these races, you know, the turf races, Sharp as Attack in Tyler's Tribe in that sprint for Sharp Azteca. Oscar Performance has several. So, you know, they're really well represented.
Well, Sid, I'm putting you down for Blazing Sevens. How about the girls' race? You got a lean?
The girls' race, you know, I'm not. I gave you a good opinion with Blazing Sevens. I don't have any particular opinion on that race, but Chop Chop off her last race looks, you know, pretty good at 4-1 morning line. I don't have a big opinion on this race, but you know, it's a contentious race. There is a race, a 2-year-old race that I do have a big opinion on.
All right.
I think it's going to be a huge price, and I'm betting 200 to win on it.
Look at you. Where are we going? Yeah. All right, direct us.
We're going to the Philly and Mare. The Juvenile Philly Turf.
Eighth race.
And I think the Europeans are stronger in this race than the North American horses. All the attention has been on Aidan O'Brien's Meditate. And is it Meditate? Yeah, Meditate. Mediate, and also on the Richard Henry, Mrs. Richard Henry owned Midnight Mile, who both are by No Name Ever, by the way, who's had an incredible year this year with his 2-year-olds. Everything I've read about this filly, in this race, everyone's mentioned all the other Europeans except for the one I like. She's morning line at 20-1. In fact, there's a 15-1 filly, Basil Martini, that's 15-1. That's Joseph O'Brien, and it's funny because the filly I'm about to talk about beat that filly in a race, and she's 20-1. But that's Chuck Fipke's Spirit Gal.
Mm-hmm.
Spirit Gal, what doesn't really show well on that on her PPs is her last race she took on Colts at 7 furlongs, won by, you know, really well by 2.5 lengths. And the colt that she beat, Cairo, subsequently came back to win a Group 3 race in Ireland for Aidan O'Brien, and had been penciled in for the Juvenile Colts race. He's not going. But that win against Cairo is really pretty impressive. This filly is in great form. Based on that race, based on the fact that nobody's talking about her, and she's 20-1 on the morning line, I think this filly has a great shot. She's got speed for a European, which doesn't mean she'll be on the lead here, but she'll be up close. And the distance is perfect for her. I think, Mr. Fipke got Ricardo Santana to ride her. He has two other horses in the Breeders' Cup that Louise is riding. Louise is committed to Last Call in this race, so he went with Ricardo Santana because Santana had ridden B Jersey to a front-running win for him a few years ago, and so that's why Santana's on his filly. But she's a lovely filly, and here's a bit of news that nobody knows. We just nominated her because we had to. Deadline was November 1 for the Asahi High Sansai Futurity in Japan on December 18th. That's a Group 1 race. And if she wins this race, she's going to go there to Japan for her next race on December 18th. That's how highly she's considered. So that's my big play at, I think she's going to be, 20-25 to 1.
Easily, and there's a couple of things about this. It's a Fipke homebred, Sid, out of that Galileo mare, awesome gal. Have you over the years? How long has Chuck used Willie Brown?
Well, Willie has always been used by Chuck for his European horses to break horses
because he's a developer, right? He's a breeze up like the Arcana Sale type guy.
He's a breeze up specialist. And you know what's interesting about Willie Brown? He's 76 years old. I've yet to meet him, and I'm looking forward to meeting him this weekend. But what the most amazing thing about it, Willie, is that he's 76. He's been, he's a specialist at breaking horses. He's never had a stakes winner until Spirit Gal won the last race.
Amazing.
Yeah, and he's a great, really a fantastic horseman, so it's really a great story for him that he gets to come here, and he didn't even know that we were going to be coming here, to tell you the truth, because we've been talking prior to the race at Dundalk that if she won, we were going to come here, and she did very easily. And then, Chuck, who's one of the most adventurous owners, obviously, was super excited to bring her over here. And Willie says she's in great shape.
We always enjoy celebrating, the smaller outfits. Not that the far-flung Fipke operation is a small outfit, but Willie Brown is a very cool story, and it was one of those little sidebar notes that I had. I was reading some things on Racing Post, and for those that don't understand the or aren't clear about what we mean with the breeze ups, he's basically like a John Enos and John Hancock and some of the trainers that we talk to who they pinhook or people send horses their way to get them started as yearlings and then as two-year-olds, and then typically they sell at those two-year-old and training sales, and on occasion Brown has gone on with horses and campaign them. So it's not that he hasn't developed horses over the years that became real nice stake winners, but this is a little bit of a unique opportunity, and for him it's got to be a huge thrill to come over with a Breeders' Cup starter.
Yeah, like I said, he's never actually trained a stakes winner until this filly.
Amazing.
In her last start. Yeah.
Amazing. The one that's running his name. He's developed plenty of stakes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And he sold seven-figure horses at the breeder sales in Europe. He's well known for that.
Exactly.
Ironically, he also happened to train the dam of this filly too, and Mr. Fipke likes to inbreed to very powerful females, and the dam is inbred 3x3 to Allegretta. That's the family of Galileo and See the Stars. And with that inbreeding and being by Galileo, she didn't have a lot of speed. But here's the thing. He bred that filly not so much for what she might have done. That's the dam. But as a potential broodmare, that's how he thinks long term. So he bred that filly with that 3x3 inbreeding to Allegretta solely to get a broodmare. And That brood bear now has produced his horse for him. What did he do? He sent that filly, that mare, the Invincible Spirit, to add the speed into it. And so he's got this filly. And, you know, he had the full sister for sale at Arcana. And he took her out. And she's with Willie Brown now, too.
Really cool. All right. I love getting this this conversation out into you know, into everybody's hands, because this is a fun group, and it's interesting that historically we say this repeatedly, how this race has generally gone in the Philly in the American North American direction, and the boys race to the Euros. But it does feel like this group, Spirit Gal, Manhattan Jungle, Mediate, Midnight Mile, and you mentioned Basil Martini, who did not draw well in the 14 hole. But it does feel like they're going to stand up here. This is a well-matched bunch. I mean, Be Your Best for Rocio De Paz and Shug with Pleasant Passage, Chad, Free Look, Comanche Country. We talked to Phil D'Amato the other morning. Delight, Jonathan Thomas. I mean, not like the North Americans aren't rock solid. G. Laurie for Graham Motion. Who haven't we mentioned? Last Call coming down from Woodbine. And the Natalma win for Kevin Attard. Zajera for Phil Bauer, who has just been incredibly strong the whole second half of the year. So there's your Cairo Consort, I should mention as well, second in the Natalma for Nathan Squires. I think this is his first Breeders' Cup starter. So there's the 14 in this Juvenile Fillies turf. It's a really fun race, and Sid, I like the concept of reaching for a price.
I like it, and like I said, I got $200 on her to win.
I love it.
Hopefully I get $5,000 back.
Look at but, you.
Yeah. I'm going to just, since I had, you know, you've got time and other guests.
Sure.
So I'm
no, you're good.
Mention one other, well, two things I'm going to mention. I think that Bob Baffert has really come to Kentucky to make a statement. Because not only does he have these horses in his in these big stakes races, but he's brought American Lion here Friday to make a statement. That horse is 7-5 Morning Line, another good Justify, right? But I'll tell you, the horse that I'm looking forward to is the first race Saturday, where he's going to have, for the same connections, including Taiba Keba, that's the Dan Racing, Arabian Night.
Yes.
Now, Arabian Night is, from everything I've been I'm going to say, from what I understand, probably the best two-year-old that he's got. And
which is saying something. That's the $2.3 million Uncle Mo and Gary Young. When after the Pennsylvania Derby, said when Gary Young, when we did the recap, and at the end of that recap, I said to Gary, what else, you know, is waiting in the wings? You know, knowing that, you know, he had been very aggressive at the training sales, and he cited both Arabian Lion and Arabian Night and how excited they were about, you know, getting them going.
Yeah, and I've spoken to Bob about Arabian Night. In fact, I've grilled him about it. He did tell me that he was going to be entering the horse on Breeders' Cup Day. I just assumed it was going to be at Santa Anita, but here he is in this race. And one thing Bob told me was he's the best Uncle Mo he's had or seen, number one, and number two, from our conversations, I can say that he used his horse as probably one of the best of this group of two-year-olds that he's got. He, you know, if you saw that video of him working with Laurel River, it was incredible that he held his own.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, I mentioned to Bob, I said, well, you know, his times haven't been as fast as Cave Brock. And Bob said that he hasn't even let this horse run yet.
So I think
this horse is going to win by 10 lengths in the first race. But that's the Bob part of it, because obviously he's got a bunch of contenders running. On Saturday, another price I'm going to give you is Cheryl Spike. Again, listed at 20 or 30 to 1. I don't know what it is. This horse, his form tailed off in the summer because he's not a warm weather horse, and he does not flourish in the heat. Earlier in the spring at the same track, he won the Grade One Maker's Mile. He's got the same jock back on, and he's training great. And I think that he's going to be a big price as well. And I think he's going to surprise a lot of people in that race.
This is the mile we're talking about. Cheryl Spike draws the two. Is going to save all the ground under Luis Saez. 30-1 is the price. Was beaten seven lengths by Modern Games and Ivar. And, you know, you're not the first. It's interesting, Sid. You're not the first person in our group of regulars to cite Cheryl Spite. Kev Humphreys, in his write-up, I'll give everybody a hint about the betting companion, which we'll release later this afternoon. He's got Cheryl Spite involved, and particularly as a value inclusion. And to be fair, there's actually a school of thought that says that Woodbine Mile it feels like the key race. I mean, certainly from the North American perspective, Modern Games, Ivar, and Cheryl Spite coming out of there. So Ivar, you know, Ivar, another horse that feels like the timing is right into the fall. And when you talk Cheryl Spite and Roger Atfield, Roger years ago said, I think this even predates, you know, you joining us and becoming, the authority on pedigree and breeding and the sales arena. Roger was the first horseman that ever explained, at least to me and on air, about the warm weather, cooler weather scenario. And Roger more or less specified fillies and mares as being more susceptible to that. And the conversation, I can't remember who the filly or mare was. It's probably 13, 14 years ago. That's how long ago. So it could be any of his, you know, when you're Roger Atfield, it could be any of 300 stake winners. But he explained how the warm weather, the horses will get sulky, and they won't eat right, and they lose their condition, they lose their form, and then when the weather starts to cool, they pick their head up, and all of a sudden they're back into the tub, and they start to train again, and it looks like somebody threw a switch. So when you say that, it's a very viable and well established and understood portion of horse training and horse form cycle.
Yeah, if you look at his race in the Maker's Mile, you know, he came, Louis Saez rode him that day. He came from way back, finishing, you know, fast. That figure is as good as anybody's in the race.
Yeah.
He's had the race over the track. This has been the target all year long. And in the Woodbine Mile, nobody has noted this, but he was making a big move when Modern Games and Buick just bullied Emma Jane Wilson on the turn, cut her pretty much off. And when he recovered, he made a big move and started running again. He's a horse that, aside from the weather and the heat, he's been a project for Roger, because this line of this line, that female line, they're very, very idiosyncratic, and he's had to change his horse's style of running. He wanted to run hard, early, fast on the front end. Rogers gradually got him to relax, come from behind, which is how he won that race, the Maker's Mile. And so, you know, again, a lot of things align for this horse, and a price is, you know, you got to take this horse, I think he's really primed for this race. This has been his target all year.
Very nice. All right, Cheryl Spite and the rest of that lineup. Pogo came up yesterday. Dream Loper. We're looking forward to talking to more of the international team. Kev Humphreys is going to join us. We'll have Nick Luck probably tomorrow as well. Vance Hansen tomorrow. Modern Games needs no introduction. Smooth Like Straight came up in discussion with Andy Serling yesterday. Going to be out there on the front end. There's Ivar. Beyond Brilliant, John Sheriffs, and that he has not been mentioned other than as a potential companion for, you know, pace scenario with Smooth Like Straight, keeping him company at the least. Regal Glory, we've talked about a fair amount, and she feels like a absolute dream trip candidate in here. Malavath, a horse that hasn't been discussed at all for Graffard. I'll wait to let the Euro analysts talk about Malavath, who's 15-1 and does get Gaffleon, Order of Australia, the winner from 2 years ago, and actually ran okay in that Coolmore Turf Mile here. It's a weird deal with Order of Australia, Annapolis, King Cause, Kin Ross, of course, coming out of Champions Day, and Domestic Spending, who is probably now going to have to kind of drop out of it with Pratt and come with one run. The Breeders' Cup Mile, which, you know, for many, many years has been one of the most anticipated races. And it's really a race, you know, when we talk about Euro involvement, Sid, and we think about Goldikova's exploits, and there aren't too many trainers, I guess Joseph O'Brien, right, joining Freddie Head, having won a Breeders' Cup as a jock and having won a Breeders' Cup race as a trainer. Freddie Head, responsible for 5 Breeders' Cup wins with Miesque and Goldikova, probably the greatest single individual accomplishment, I would think, in this event's history.
Yeah, I was, you know, it's understandable that Freddie eventually said that Goldikova was the best, but in my mind, Miesque was one of the best milers ever, European turf milers, and you know, it's understandable Freddie rode her and trained Goldikova, who won it 3 times, but Miesque, to me, is the ultimate. I mean, she was just absolutely incredible. In terms of another three-year-old filly here for the fillies, the distaff, that's another opinion I have, is that you've got a great group of older fillies with Malapat and Clary Air, but I think that Nest is exceptional, and I would, if you're playing pick fives and six, for me, she's a single. So Nest for me over everybody else in that race.
Well,
just as a single.
I hear you. And in fact, when people read the betting companion, they're going to see, you know, a sort of a similar stance from James Scully. Scully feels that Nest is just too formidable. One thing from the breeding standpoint, and of course, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And when we talk Hill and Dale and Curlin, his presence in this race is pretty astounding, Sid. I don't know how many times the classic or the or the distaff has been dominated in terms of, you know, the leading candidates by one stallion, and here's Curlin having produced Nest, Clairiere, and Malathat.
Incredible, absolutely incredible. Not to mention that this year is showing another aspect with the speedier horses, like Cody's Wish and Obligatory. You know, and the other sprinter as well. What's his name? Bill Mott has them all. The three Curlins, Obligatory, Cody's Wish, and one other
Elite Power, the Judmont.
Yeah, that's right. So that aspect of Curlin is also pretty interesting, because we know about his classic prowess at the classic distances, but you know, he's getting these great sprinters too.
Yeah.
Sprinter milers.
That's why he is who he is. And Sid, let's round out the conversation. Round out the conversation with the classic. And you know, here we've got a situation where, you know, Flightline continues to you know, seemingly dominate all the conversation. We should mention that Happy Saver did not train today. He only walked, and Todd Pletcher dealing with a quarter crack with him, and he was patched. They did, you know, one of those Amato style patch ups on Happy Saver. Todd is still hopeful that he'll be able to train the next few days, but Happy Saver is dealing with a quarter crack, so keep that in mind. But you know, from a lineup standpoint, Taba, of course, Gunrunner, Life Is Good, Into Mischief, Happy Saver, Super Saver, Flightline, Tappet, the Oxbow Hard Hitter, Hot Rod Charlie, Not This Time, Epicenter, Spitestown, Olympiad, and Keen Ice, Rich Strike, eight different stallions represented in the Classic.
And in this race, I just have one bet, and that bet is a straight exacta, Flightline, Taba.
Hmm.
Now, we did the, we assisted the Gary and Mary West with the mating of Life Is Good, who I love. You know, they sold him because they didn't think he'd be a 10 furlong winner at three. He's four. Maybe his last race he does it. But I'm going against a horse that we were quite involved with, and I just think for me it's going to be Flightline, Taba. I think Taba is just an incredibly talented 3-year-old, a handful of starts, really, a horse that's really coming into his own. And I just feel that, you know, like I said earlier when I prefaced it with Baffert, I think he's really coming with guns blazing for this meet. And, you know, I think we're going to see Taba out finish Epicenter. And it's going to be kind of reminiscent of Medina Spirit finishing in front of Essential Quality, and the other horse getting the championship. Could very well happen here as well if this happens with Taba ahead of Epicenter. But I'm a big Taba believer. I think he's got a lot of talent, and that's the single bet, boom, for me.
I actually have got the I did the classic for the Betting Companion. I took the same approach, and Taba and Hot Rod Charlie, who I just feel is just too consistent and too, you know, much of a bulldog to not, you know, to not acknowledge. And to me, that's the try. When it came to the $100 betting strategy, I suggested a $50 try key with Flightline over Taba and Hot Rod Charlie.
That's pretty good. The other bet I have is is going to be a $100 daily double straight Arabian Night Messier.
You're all in on the Baffert train. That's for sure. That's great. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I think he's just loaded, and I think he's coming with a vengeance because he didn't need to bring American Lion and Arabian Night, these horses over here that aren't in stakes races. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He didn't need to, but I think he's coming with a statement to be made for the. For the KHRC and Churchill Downs.
Well, it does. You know, it's funny. You're so focused on the 14 big races, and then when they draw everything else, and you start to look, and you realize, you know, there's some interesting things happening, and even the Arabian Lion allowance race that goes as the fourth before the Turn Back the Alarm. That's an aqueduct. Before the Thoroughbred Aftercare, Arabian Lion is facing off against a couple of major other first out winners, including Protege for Ron Moquette and Trey Souls for Steve Aspison. This is a nice group, actually. It's not,
it really is a good group. Yeah,
it looks like there's plenty of talent, and it's just nice to have a 2-year-old allowance race.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and by the way, on Aspison Friday, I forgot to mention the horse I do like in the sprint.
In the turf sprint.
In the juvenile turf sprint at 15-1, Tyler's Tribe.
Oh yeah,
this horse 15-1 I think is great value on this horse. This horse never works well. If you go back and you look at his works, even at Prairie Meadows, he's working 3/8 and 38/39. All right, that's just how he works. He came here and he went on the turf the first time. It wasn't pretty. Second time was nicer. He's not a really good mover anyway, except when he's in full flight. And I've seen a yearling picture of this horse. He's back at the knee too. It's amazing. He's a big horse. He's back at the knee. Indian Charlie was a big horse and back at the knee too, the broodmare sire of Flight Line. But I think this horse, Tyler's Tribe, I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I think he'll take to the turf because a lot of the sharp Aztecas have, including Sharp as a Tack, who's in that race.
Well,
I think at 15-1, I think he's really, really playable.
And I certainly don't agree. I don't disagree. However, he's got. You mentioned Sharp as a Tack. He's in the nine. Tyler's Tribe is in the 10 hole, and then there's the Baffert Speed Boat Beach, who basically, the Pegram, Watson, and Whiteman, they didn't need another participant in the juvenile with Cave Rock, so they took this alternate approach. Speedboat Beach wins the speakeasy, and he didn't look necessarily comfortable on the grass. I mean, his sheer quality and speed basically helped him prevail. Then you've got to fold in the 12, the Platinum Queen, the European, who is a real horse. So you've got four speeds essentially from the outside that are going to be headlong into that turn, Sid, and something's got to give. Not everybody, somebody's going to get jostled here. Somebody is going to have a problem. So I wanted to be all in on Tyler's Tribe getting here. We had a wonderful discussion with Tim Martin after the cradle because it's a great story. And, I certainly wouldn't mind. The horse that I sort of have gravitated a little bit to is the Matron winner, American Apple, the filly of Dan Leach. We also talked to Dan. He's another small connection success story coming into the weekend for Katie Rich Farms. And this is an American Pharoah filly out of the very nice Miss Mary Apples. And I think that Corrales can let the speeds go, and he can draft right in behind, let them be like a flying wedge for American Apple to, you know, sit right off the speed. The juvenile turf sprint, I know some people think it's extraneous and unnecessary, but it's going to be a fun affair.
Oh, it's going to be a great, and this Platinum Queen is a very, very serious, having beaten the older horses.
Yep.
What I don't like about her is that she's wheeling back in less than, or is it like 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks? It's a very quick turnaround for her. I don't think this was originally in the plan for her. And the last time she turned around real quickly earlier on, she had a bad race. She's also coming. I don't think she's going to have the early speed of these Americans, and she loves the soft ground, super soft. So that kind of, on form, she looks like she stands out over these horses, but those little things and that post position is one thing. The other horse you mentioned, Baffert's horse, he's a sprinter, and so they weren't going to stretch him to the juvenile anyway, and they were trying to figure out a way to get to a Breeders' Cup, so they put him in that turf race. He won that race. But, you know, again, not with a major figure in that race, but showed that he could come, stalk and come off. Doesn't appear to be a horse that's going to be right on the lead in the turf. It could be. But, you know, Baffert's really not a turf trainer. And, you know, this is more of getting the Three Amigos, yet another Breeders' Cup runner. Sure, he's got a good shot. But if this Tyler's Tribe is really what he looks to be like, he could be a great story. You know, because he is fast. He's very, very fast.
Some of the other horses to consider in here, and Wesley with the Bolton Landing winner, Love Rains, drew nicely for Rad Ortiz. There's another one that could establish early position in here and kind of stalk and go, kind of maybe an inside outside trip. Persian Force, we're going to find out. Kelly Riley is joining us from Brisnet after the break at the top of the hour. We'll get there you go, Case. That's good, Case. Bring that down a little bit. There you go. Perfect. Persian Force for Richard Hannon, coming out of the Middle Park. It's Oxymore for Chad. What's wrong with Oxymore? Cutting back to the Skidmore distance where he won at Saratoga. We'll find out about Carl Burke's Dramatized as well, and Appleby's Mischief Magic. Lady Hollywood, Alice Haynes, an uncoupled entry for AMO Racing. Hannon's got Persian Force and Lady Hollywood, a Havana Great Filly. It's a fun 12-pack. So, Sid, this was tremendous. I love the strong opinions on your part, and
I'll see you at the races.
We'll see you at the races, and we'll do some of the recapping live right from where I'm sitting during the sale Monday, Tuesday, right?
Where are you sitting, bro?
I'm in the back ring, right in the back ring.
The very back ring?
Yeah, right, okay. right behind the sliding door where the horses come onto the sales stage.
Okay, so there's like three rings. The back one, the one before they come into the ring before they go into the sales ring. So it's if you're looking at it, is it indoors or is outside?
We're indoors, right by the not the side facing the barns, but the side facing that little outdoor patio area with the
I know where you are.
You'll
okay.
see.
Yeah,
you won't
we'll see you over there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Sid Fernando, everybody, Work Thoroughbred Consultants. We'll do the recapping next week. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Let's take the top of the hour break. Kelly Riley is going to join us, and you will get everything you need to know about the Euros when she joins us next. Hammer sitting along for the ride. We'll talk to Kelly. I think Lenny Shulman is supposed to wander by, and we will check in with Seth Merrow. Seth doing two of the juvenile races in the Betting Companion as well, but we'll get his wider opinions in this third hour. Wednesday, Breeders' Cup, live from Keeneland. Sirius XM, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.